Hi there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy. Hope you're having a good day. Whatever you're doing, I hope it's entertaining, fun, cool, makes you happy, or at least keeps you curious. Lots of things have been happening, and pardon me for taking a break. Because there's just so much to kind of focus on, and I'm doing some redirecting and doing some different things in my personal life that it's taken a little bit of a shift and focusing on those things while I get everything kind of realigned and reassessed, starting a new blog and shifting directions with some of the stuff that I am doing, and including more in some way some of my personal experiences. Sometimes when I've dealt with guests, it may not seem like it, but I have withheld some information, all right, just to kind of give it more of a showcase and a focus on my guest. And it, obviously, it differs with each guest. Some people I'm more comfortable with, just like, you know, you might be. I'm more comfortable, and so I might divulge too much or, you know, overemphasize certain things. But part of it is when I'm talking with these people, sometimes it's for the very first time. Even though we have booked and we may have exchanged emails or something in advance, this is our conversation and this is real. So we're both getting to know each other. And even though they may have a certain perception of whether I'm going to be open to their content, which is usually a bit offbeat and unusual and quirky in its own right, and they might be a little bit hesitant to talk because of past experience with somebody about this, then me divulging some of my own quirks helps them feel more at ease and helps us get to know each other in a way that I can get better answers to my questions, and sometimes answers that might not come out in a more conventional interview format. So that's part of the process behind this as well. And then I'm also really, really focused on getting more information and more content for the show that I'm doing on KCMO Radio. And that's a work in progress as well. The podcasting is the focus. Right now, there's such a tremendous opportunity and tremendous variety and all sorts of options with podcasting that make radio, in my way of thinking, a lot more dynamic and a lot more interesting, a lot more compelling. There's more variety. When I was in talk radio years ago, it was still that thing where you could have possibly, somebody in the middle of the day doing recipes, somebody in the afternoon doing psychological, some kind of, you know, hi, it's the psychiatrist, you know, Frasier, I'm listening. And then it gradually just became the home for political talk and more of this opinion and extreme opinion in terms of getting a response. It was like, you know, make it bleed, you know, get people to get their emotions and get them really hyped and really anxious. Well, after a while, that reaches a peak where you have only people who are really, really super angry listening. And even they need a break. So that's part of what drove me to do this podcast in the first place with Empower Radio, because this is a break from some of that stuff and that high anxiety and high intensity of, make them feel something. This is, if you feel it, it's real. If you feel it, it's because there's a connection. There's an engagement. There's something about it that is fascinating. And I believe my own really weird, offbeat, unusual, non-conventional experiences and talking about that with other people and sharing their stuff is something that makes us all more curious, because these are things that we don't have answers. Oh yeah, we have beliefs and we have opinions, but answers are still very much lacking. The science that we're getting into with quantum theories, with quantum mechanics, and all sorts of things that we are still kind of, you know, trying to connect the dots on, that's just beginning to give us some kind of maybe a basis for consciousness and for why everything is interconnected at subatomic particle levels, you know, where something happens, you know, spooky action at a distance, where if you have this experience and then somebody thousands of miles away knows it and they can tell you and they call you up and say, whoa, wow, that was odd, are you okay? How did you know? That's the kind of stuff that happens with remote viewing is one word for it. There are other things, telepathy. But when I have been doing during the last few years since 1997 and really going full boat into this with learning how to connect with the nightlight energy that I wrote the book out, you know, talking to nightlights, trying to explain that first, oh boy, maiden voyage. When this happened in my life, it wasn't anything I really knew how to deal with. The nightlights are flickering. They're engaging. They're interactive. They're supposed to be on and then off. They're supposed to be off and then they're on. And then they blink and they flicker. And I tell you, I lost a lot of sleep trying to figure out what the heck was going on. And if it would continue at the very beginning, this is December 1997, and I'm getting into January 1998, and I'm writing, and I wrote the book basically in about, you know, 2 weeks. All this stuff came through. I quickly learned how to channel. I quickly learned how to do automatic writing. And then I practiced it for 2 or 3 years, depending on what I was practicing on. Basically, was getting myself out of the way and getting that ego to be on the back burner so I wouldn't project my stuff. And that's a learning curve. You have to realize what's coming through that really doesn't have a frame of reference in your own belief system, your own knowledge base, and then kind of trust that you're going to connect the dots. It's all, in some ways, it's a game of charades, because that language that you're working with from this other source isn't always going to be compatible or have that same kind of even definitions that we would use. And so I had to learn, all right, this isn't always going to make sense. Well, how do I say it? It's like I posted something recently about talking with a turtle, and we went on a trip to the Lake of the Ozarks, and there's this wonderful turtle. The name I thought was great, Hemingway. We go into this bookstore, toy store combo, and there's Hemingway in his tank, and he's just kind of, you know, hanging around being a turtle. There's a few fish in there with him, and he's up on his top shelf, kind of a little place where he can look out over his kingdom. And I talked to him when I went in. I acknowledged him and said, hey, how you doing? And he's kind of ignoring me, which that's fine. But at one point, then he realized, he says, you're talking to me. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Nobody ever talks to me. I was like, yeah, well, I'm talking to you. And I asked him if he liked his space. And he was, you know, he was kind of contemplating if he wanted to answer. Yeah. And so later on, when we're going to check out, I go back and they're saying that they were thinking about moving him to someplace else, like Bass Pro, because there's a big, huge fish tank at Bass Pro. And I ask him if that's what he wanted to do. And so we get into this conversation. I am talking. And the reason, the way I'm able to connect, the way this animal communication work happens, and believe me, I don't always do it. Sometimes I'm way off with my pets because there's too much emotion involved. And I might be worried or frantic or emotional, and I could be projecting or misreading or miscue something. All right. But when I don't know the animal or the person, it's easier for me to be more objective and less emotional. Emotions and agendas can derail you just super, super quick, because if you have a vested interest, sometimes you can make something there that isn't. So anyway, back to Hemingway. Hemingway, the really thing that was important to them was, is he happy? Does he like being here? And does he like what he's eating? You know, is there something he wants? I thought, well, okay, these are pretty basic questions. So Hemingway, yes. And he also ratted out somebody who was not feeding him on a regular basis. And the person was just floored. And she said, yeah, sometimes I forget to feed him. Yeah, I do. Well, that's when one of the fish goes missing. Okay, so mystery solved. And he thinks that part is a game. Oh, you didn't feed me? Well, here. Come on, little fishy. That's what Hemingway does. So, and Hemingway also said he liked gummy words. This is gummy worms. This is where the language thing comes into play. I did not have in my vocabulary, nor was I focused on, night crawlers. Just not one of my things. And so what Hemingway picked up on was a word that would be similar, that would be in my frame of reference, gummy worms. And so when I told him he likes something like gummy worms, they all laughed, because they knew, yes, he loves night crawlers. And so those are like a special treat. And then Hemingway gave me a picture, and it was the flake stuff. And then I got this sensation, a taste of fish. And then it was like shrimp. Okay, they said something is shrimp. Oh, yeah, that's a treat, too, and he hasn't had any recently. So he was asking for gummy worms, you know, the McDonald's fast food, and then the shrimp stuff. So this is what's so fun about this, is that as he was doing this, and the way we knew that he was really involved, Hemingway became more engaged. He started looking at me as I was speaking, and he wanted me to maintain eye contact. He requested that I look in his eyes so that he knew that I was responding and receptive. And then he would look at the people behind the counter, and between looking at me and looking at them, saying like, "Do you hear her? She's telling you, this is what I want. Gummy worms." So this is why I find this stuff so fascinating and so entertaining. And I just spoke with Rosalind Byrne about her horses and her connection when she fell off the horse, beginning to just, you know, getting up from that fall and hearing what the horse was thinking. And this brand new window to the world opened up. And that's what it's like, because there's just... before, everything just goes kind of autopilot, lockstep, you know, life goes on and things are happening the way you're used to, whatever that has been since you're a kid. And all of a sudden, you know, mid-adult, midlife, whatever, wherever, something completely foreign and unexpected and novel shakes up that routine. And then you have to go back and reformat the hard drive, because things you didn't know existed already or have just unfolded and become reality. And not just a teeny bit of reality, but a greater reality. And so with that, these things have been happening lately to remind me that when I agreed, when I began dealing with this nightlight thing, the very, very basic thing that they requested, these other non-corporeal, unseen beings, was that, please give us a voice. Please say, we are here. And that was it. And the other thing was, do not project. Do not give us a label or a name. Don't call us ghosts. Don't call us guides. Don't call us ETs. Don't call us demons. Don't call us any of those names. You don't know who or what we are. You're learning. And the reason for that, for me learning, is that I can work with it without giving it a label. When I give it a label, I actually lose the connection, because then I have a preconceived notion of whatever this label might form. And I put that projection on this relationship, on this engagement, on this interaction. So in that way, they requested that I don't give them a label until I learned more about what I'm doing. And since then, there are all sorts of labels I have come across in the work of others, and fantastic labels. And yet we have to start where we are. And so for me, I'm not going to jump to conclusions and say what I'm dealing with is the same thing that somebody else is dealing with. When I do get information and I'm able to pass it on to somebody else and I'm able to make a connection like that, the conversation between Hemingway and his peeps, what he wanted them to know, and it's still up to them. Because that was, whether he would stay there or not, was that was their deal, their call, whether they could care for him in the way they needed to and give him attention, or whether that other option of giving him to a store with a nice big pool would be a better place for him. He had been raised as a pet, and so he was used to that contact. He really enjoyed the children, and he engaged with them. And as you can understand, this is a telepathic ability. So some of those kids are actually going to cue into him. They're going to pick up what he's sending, the thoughts and the images. They may or may not know that's what's happening. He knows that's what's happening, and he knows when he gets a response, and he knows when somebody's eyes get wide and they go, oh! And then they may not say anything. They'll be quiet because they're not supposed to talk about this stuff, and they don't even know who to talk to. All right. So when you have these experiences, it can be so incredibly, in a way, enlightening and engaging and energizing, because you realize there's a part of me that has known this and has been aware of this all along and had no outlet for it and had no way to integrate it, to make it a part of my living reality. So with these things that I'm doing, I'm trying to give voice to other ways of connecting, other forms of conscious awareness, other beings that are here with us. And sometimes they may allow some kind of an engagement that's that gives us concrete evidence that something's happening. And other times they just stay in the shadows. One way or the other, it doesn't matter whether we believe in them. You used to think that was all there was to it. You believe and it happens. You don't believe and it doesn't. Well, with stuff like this, it isn't about us. Okay? You're not blocking by disbelief. You're just staying unaware. All right? But when you do believe, you have to be careful and discern. Because not only do you believe, there's this creative element that then embellishes those beliefs. And so here this lovely little mouse entity is trying to connect with you. And because of your fear, your fright, your unfamiliarity with this particular kind of contact, you can make it into a dragon. And it might be a fun, cool, playful dragon, but it's still not the mouse that's trying to connect with you. Okay, so that's what we do with our own create ability. And it happens to coincide with believing. So seeing is believing. Believing is seeing. Those things both work. All right? It has to do with remembering the creative process and remembering that as you are believing and seeing, you are also creating, and that's embellishing. You're bringing it to a fuller frame of reference for your own edification so you can figure out, okay, how do I integrate this? How do I process it? What do I label it? What's the category? How does this fit? And sometimes it won't fit, but you're going to try just autopilot, you know, automatically because of past ways of being, I guess, you know, accomplished in the world and accomplished as a creator, as a living human being. You have already developed these paths and these systems and these patterns of working with your reality. Well, these realities, as you get into them, are so much more diverse and so fantastically unexplainable that you have to figure out a new language, a new frame of reference, a new way of navigating. Just to give you an example, of one of the people I've read recently was talking about she had a friend come over, and this is somebody they knew and somebody they were comfortable with. But when she came to the house, the friend said, what's sitting on my foot? Something's sitting on my foot. And she said, well, yeah, that's our dog. They had a dachshund apparently. And the dog was, that was one of the favorite things the dog liked to do. So the dog sat on her foot. She could feel it. And the person who happened to be a medium, she could see this. So she could see the dog sitting on her foot. She said, will you please make the dog move? Because it's scaring me. So she said, sure. The dog moved and the dog went over by the door. And the woman who was visiting never came back again because it was too frightening for her. And this is somebody who in their relationship, they hadn't expected that kind of fright, that it was a completely caught them off guard. And at the same time, that was a comfort zone that had the boundary there had been crossed. And she was not ready to even try and factor that one out. Okay, ghost dog sitting on my foot. This is weird. I'm gone. And in the meantime, though, the story about the ghost dog was the ghost dog was waiting for the person knew that the ghost dog cared about more than anybody else in the world. And it was her son who was serving in the military. And the ghost dog was waiting to say goodbye. When the son came home, the dog said goodbye and left. That is how we connect pets and people, animals and humans, on different planes of awareness. There was a caring, an empathy, a concern, and the dog waited until the dog could make that connection of, I love you, had to see you one more time, bye-bye, you know? In the meantime, scared the heck out of the visitor. So two different ways of perceiving that. Here's a dog with nothing more to share than a loving energy and a person who was completely and totally out of their comfort zone by having this contact and not having a way to validate or to, you know, give it some kind of a perception that would make them comfortable rather than frightened. All right. So, and that's where we all are. Some of those you have to really allow other people their own boundaries. And don't push, don't try to prove Don't try to disprove. Just say, hey, this is what it is. And each person comes to that on their own terms, when and if they're ready. So that's part of this as well, is there's no proof. I'm not offering you proof. I'm offering you possibilities and instances and stories and that kind of thing that says, this has happened to me. It could happen to you. I've had people tell me when they read the book, Talking to Night Lights, that they have had their own lights do this interactive, linky thing. Now, for me, it's never stopped. It does happen in other places. It does happen with other lights. And this week, because I was, you know, getting ready to do all of this other stuff, yes, it went ahead and happened outside in the lamp. Now, this happened about 10 years ago. I think it was either 2008 or 7. I was thinking it was the anniversary of the night lights. And that would have either been December 2007 or January 2008. Depending on which way the timing goes. And what happened, this same lamp in the backyard, I've been in a different residence since then, but in the yard, glowed orange for several days. And at that point, I had a young lady staying with me, and I said, go look at this, go look at this, see, look at it. The light switch is off, and see what that lamp is doing. It's on, and it's orange. And there's no way that light can be orange. That isn't in its, it does either white, off. White, blinky, off. Orange is not there. So there it was, this beautiful orange glow with the light switch being off. And then one day it stopped. That was it. The light didn't burn out. Nothing happened. There was no rain, no, you know, no snow, nothing weird. Well, so it starts doing that this time. Only this time, I'm asleep. Andy says he sees out the back yard, and here's this light. Blink, 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 blink. It's supposed to be on nonstop. Blink. So it's doing that. And about 4 hours later, we finally get a camera that's going to work and take a picture. And technology. Okay, fine. Turns out the big old fancy camera that we got that's supposed to take better pictures and has a better zoom on it doesn't have the movie element. All right. And neither of us remember that until after about half an hour. Well, first we had to make sure the battery was on. Then we had to make sure we had the right lens because one got broken. So this is a new lens, which then I had to figure out why auto lock wouldn't let it move. Okay, so there you go. That's why it took the delay. And figuring that out, I went back to my old trusty camera. Finally, thank goodness it had a battery that was working and it was functional. And so I went out and got the movie version and totally overlooked getting the light in the off switch. So I don't have that it is in the off position. All right. So I'm sorry. Yeah, got to take my word for it. But Andy saw it too. So, and he saw it at a different time that I, at actually one point he saw it when it was on and doing the blink, blink, blink thing, which is the night lights. They're plugged in and they do the blink, blink. Okay. But this was off for this outdoor light. And so then I thought I wanted to get it to do a different, you know, I wanted you to see what it's doing. And I'll put this on the blog eventually. But so I wanted him to turn it on so it would stay on consistently and then turn it back off so you could see it was blinking, even though it might disrupt the flow of what was happening there with this energy. I thought, okay, do that. So I told him to do that. So he did. And it's blinking, blinking, on, blinking. I said, well, why didn't you do that? He said, I did. It didn't respond. It wanted to blink. It didn't want to stay on. So there I was, and I was outside. I couldn't hear him from the inside. So there I thought he was still playing with it and it wasn't, you know, it anyway. So there you go. So what I did with the other camera was get out and take a film nonstop of this blinking light so you could see. And then during the day, it was still going. So I didn't have to worry about doing it. During the day, 9:30 in the morning, I'm out there with my camera going, see, this is it. This is what it's doing. This is what it looks like during the day because it's kind of hard to tell what it is at night. But there it is. So those two videos, I posted them on Facebook. You know, that's where everybody posts stuff. So I posted them there just to say, hey, this is what's going on. And that is something that is easily explained if you have faulty equipment. Shorten the wires. The grounding isn't somehow taken care of. And the deal is Andy rewired that because we wanted to put a different kind of light in it. And it was the water, the top was leaking. So he made sure everything was all dry. Everything was all the way that it needed to be. And so that light had the attention. The grounding wire is just fine. And the night lights on the inside of the house are all connected to the right. I don't know. I'm not an electrician. But they're all in some way, shape, or form grounded correctly, okay? There's no funky stuff. Well, and if that were the case, it would not happen in the various hotels that I have spent the last, since 1997, visiting, the various houses that I have visited, and the various lights that it's done this with that are not night lights, that are regular lights, just like this little lamp outdoors. Okay, so there are all sorts of other factors that go into this that make it completely and totally, to me, fascinating. I'm easily entertained, and that's the way I like it. All right, we're going to take a break. But I just wanted to share this stuff with you because this is what's happening. And it makes it interesting. We'll come back in a few minutes.
Tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, and you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy. Okay, dealing with this stuff can be sometimes overwhelming because there's so much going on, and there isn't always a way to validate it or corroborate it because it may just be happening when you're by yourself, you're alone. And the best thing I can suggest is that the first thing to do is stay calm. Don't freak. Just kind of chill. And give yourself a minute or two to acclimate to what's happening. And the reason for that is because when the emotions come in, when that fear engages, then you lose it. You lose it in so many ways. And just to give you an idea of, I had an encounter where the guides prepared me and said, you're going to have a connection here. He said, but you can't be afraid. And they were saying that there's this ET element, this other thing that I would meet. And they were warning me that this would happen, and it will happen for us as a collective, as humans, as a species. We're going to have these kinds of encounters. And the first thing that right now we need to get a grip on is our fear, because that creates all sorts of disharmony and disease and distortion. And so dis-ease, not disease as in, you know, sick, but mental. And so I assured them that there was no problem, that I had had issues with things that would be frightening, and I knew how to keep my fear in check. And they yeah, okay, I told you, just got to do this. All right, so as a demonstration, when I wake up, I am awakened in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., and hear this voice that is a kind of a mechanical, very foreign to me, so foreign that the sound of it, when it resonates in me, absolutely sends me into sheer panic. And this is uncontrollable. It's not, it's that thing of, I am halfway asleep and awake. It wakes me because of the volume and the resonance that I feel, that vibration. And it's so absolutely foreign that I am petrified, and I feel the fear go through me like a lightning bolt, you know, from head to toe. And I feel that freezing, you know, when you're frozen stiff because of something that's completely petrifying that you can't imagine happening. Rarely have I had that. Well, that moment, there it was. And I'm like, my response then, I knew I blew it. I knew, because of the way I felt my body just, you know, freeze up. I'm like, oh, shoot. No, you know, undo it. But in that moment, I understood exactly what they meant. Because in that moment, because of that response, that fight or flight thing that is ingrained, that is part of our DNA, that's part of our safety mechanism that tells you to get the heck out of Dodge when you're not going to be alive if you stay. It's survival. It's code. It's in us. And that's what happens when we are faced with something so incredibly, undefinably, unexplainably foreign. We go into that, I'm going to survive mode. And that's what my body did, that autopilot, because this thing was so fantastically outside my frame of reference and my ability to categorize. And all it did was say the name. I could feel the presence. I could feel the direction, and I could feel that that element in my space. But that moment let me know what they were talking about. And I knew they were standing beside me at the bed, chuckling. yeah. Told you needed to get over your fear. I'm like, got it. Yeah, that might be an issue. And so that's why some of these things, you know, when you hear that children have this engagement, I remember having an imaginary friend as I was a kid. And now what I remember about it is what my mom told me when the imaginary friend left and I told her that he flew out the window. That is what I remember. But I also remember never feeling like I was alone. Okay. So I remember my mom telling me what happened, and then I never spoke of that friend again. So I know I had company, and I know I had, there was no fear. I felt very, very comfortable just being alone and not having to, you know, not the typical afraid of the dark kind of thing. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean that there isn't a healthy fear of going to places where you might compromise your security because you're in a place that might be dangerous. Okay, that's not it. This is the afraid of the dark stuff, you know, the things that go bump in the night. So that part of it, I had some experiences that I, at that point, didn't seem to be afraid of, and they weren't disconcerting. But as an adult and having other experiences that did give me a little bit more reason to be afraid, then I had to go back and figure out, okay, how does this fit with these things that I'm experiencing? And so when I did feel this incredibly negative entity in my house, and I could feel and I could see this dark shadow and could see this and feel it, what it does is it kind of saps your energy. You feel lethargic, you feel tired, you feel just, it really just, it's, you know, there are different words for it, you know, a vampire or a succubus, all these good stuff. Yeah, that's all fun and games. But the deal is when this energy or entity that is a very negative energy is around, then you give it more power when you focus and create all sorts of other little embellishments about what it may or may not be. And that feeds it. That's why when people get into these houses that are haunted and they have all these sorts of manifestations, it really helps to have somebody else come in and do an assessment of what might this be. Is this a ghost from somebody who has a former resident of the house or former residence, or is this somebody visiting from up the street who just died? Because that happens too, and I've had that happen in nice ways. Or is it somebody doing other little games? Because there are people who have wonderful psychic gifts and they can visit. But it's that kind of thing. Or is it somebody who is just completely ungrounded, and this is PK energy? It's a result of some of their own stuff and their thought forms. So it gets really complex when you're dealing with this and trying to give names to all of it. And the people who are more fluent in this language will have different ways of giving each of these elements and energies some kind of a definition. In the meantime, I knew without having anybody else define this for me, this was absolutely wrecking my health. And so when I had the opportunity and an assist, I was able to remove it from my space. But it had to do with an attachment with another person and that person's energy, which was extremely, it was suffocating me. Okay. So these things happen. And so when you talk about, you know, dealing with physical health and mental health and emotional health, there are different layers. And sometimes you can fix one thing, but if the other thing hasn't been addressed, it won't go away. It will continue to have an impact on your awareness, on your well-being, until these things are addressed. And those are areas that are really, really at this point, they're not something we speak about at mainstream. But if you get into some of the studies and the backgrounds and the histories from the indigenous cultures, then you find out that they also have these kinds of issues that they are aware of and they do talk about. And it's not so mumbo jumbo. It has much more to do with, well, this is what happens and this is how you deal with it. And there's one thing called soul retrieval that's in some circles, something that's very familiar. And at the same time, I can't get into it too much right now because some of this stuff has a whole lot more than just me giving a quick overview. But I do want to say, in terms of dealing with these things and these experiences, that it helps to be comfortable with who you are and with your own level of ability. And knowing if you see something that makes you uncomfortable, like the lady who had the dog on her foot and didn't know what to do, leave. If it is frightening, if it's uncomfortable, if it's something that makes you feel threatened or insecure, then your best, in terms of your own mental health, your best action is to leave. Now, I get those in some spaces where there are some energies there that it's really unpleasant. So it's a way of saying, you know, this isn't something that I want to deal with. This isn't where I want to be. And if I don't want to go into this residence, or I don't want to go into this shop, or I don't want to go into this park, I have a sense that says welcome or not. And I engage that. I connect with that. And when I don't feel welcome, then okay, move on. Move on. But there are some amazing, amazing places on the planet that do have incredibly powerful, strong, positive vibrations. And if you visit one of those, you'll have a better idea of what I'm talking about. Now, you could do the negative stuff too. But remember, it's more fun to have the positive stuff attached to you when you leave than the negative stuff. Yeah. Okay. I just thought I'd throw that in there because that might be a self-defense thing that comes in handy. So all of that is real. It's not a fiction. It's just a matter of knowing when it happens, if you have a better awareness that it's possible, that you can take measures to keep yourself either unaffected by it or get an assist and have somebody remind you that you're also part of this reality, and your imagination and your creation ability is working. It is working. So figure out how to work it for you rather than let it go autopilot against you and create things that might be more harmful than good. And so disengage from that fear and disengage from the projections of everything is going to get me, and ask what might be the lesson, what might be helpful for me to know at this time. How can I learn from this? And there's a whole lot more that comes along with that. I've got some great interviews coming up. I wanted to just make a plug for the Wendy's Coffee House thing on KCMO Radio, because basically you don't have to listen there. All right. You can listen to the podcast. The podcast is available. Wendy's Coffee House is the blog. So you can listen. There's a little link on the top. I also do a little rundown of the show. I'll do some headlines, but I also do the rundown of the guest, a little overview of the links and stuff to connect with the guest. And some of those people I may or may not interview on this show as well. It just depends basically on their availability and time. One of the folks I have interviewed before that I'm trying to set up for that show is Artie Six Killer Clark. And she's the one who has the book Encounters with Star People. She's got another one coming out, More Encounters with Star People. And this has to do with urban American Indians. Now, the other one, she went to South America. She traveled, I think it was 8 months or so. Anyway, it was a very long engagement, and getting people to talk with her through an interpreter and share stories with her that they might not share with anybody else. Fascinating, fascinating stories. The one in this one that I really like has to do with basically a time shift and portals, and saying that there are people here that look just like you and I who are maybe not just like you and I, but they pass quite well. And so part of that is that I love her enthusiasm. I love her curiosity, and I love her willingness to continue seeking out these stories and having people share them. And recently when I went, I had a doctor's appointment, and I told him I was doing this show, and he said, what about? And I said, well, of course it's got UFOs. He said, whoa, really? And then he proceeded to tell me two of his UFO encounters in the middle of Nebraska. So it's just, you know, the stuff that we sometimes think that, you know, we're in our own quirky world and nobody's ever experienced a ghost or a UFO or this kind of a time shift, or wondering why that could happen to somebody else and not us. It happens. It happens. And the more we talk about it, the more we share, the more we realize that this is a really cool reality, and there's more going on here than 9 to 5. You know, and the weekend isn't for a lot of people a stopping point. it's one more day. So if you want to check out some of the shows there, I think you might find some other interesting things. I'm trying to keep it really light and bright, but I will include some of the spooky stuff too, just because, you know, if you get yourself in over your head, you want to have an option on getting it out. And most of it has to do with our imagination giving free rein and taking us to the places that we wouldn't go otherwise if we weren't afraid to start out with. So that is a big element of a lot of this. But there are also some people who that for them is when they're going to a place that frightens them, that's the juice, that's the energy, that's they have to do it. It's just, it's like, you know, a magnet. And if it doesn't have that element, then they're not going to go there. So I applaud them. Because I've dealt with that kind of energy, and it's unpleasant, you know, because they're usually not happy campers anyway. And some of this, that's what it's about. It's saying this is not a happy place. And so when you're dealing with that energy, sometimes it's hard to convince them to go elsewhere. If there are a lot of other happy people unhappy people around, then they want to stay there and keep stirring the pot. So that just draws a different energy. In some ways, like attracts like. So just remember that when you're thinking that you are incredibly powerful, much more powerful than you realize. And when you start connecting the dots and honing in that focus ability, when I talk with Jeffrey Mishlove about the PK man, Ted Owens. This guy was absolutely phenomenal in terms of his ability to create and to manifest. And he used telepathy, and he believed he was in contact with other intelligences. He called them the SIs, the space intelligence, I believe. And telepathy was the way that he connected and he communicated. And some of the stuff he did, he ran amok. He did some things that were unpleasant to people. And so that part of it, there's a power there in a sense that when you realize that these things are legit, then you start reining in some of your wicked fantasies, the running amok aspect. And you realize that maybe you want to work it for instead of against humanity and yourself. There's always a consequence for everything that we do, whether we see it in this plane or not, there are consequences. And so if you want to draw more light, become light, enlighten yourself, think up, imagine, illuminate, become an empowered creator, and you'll be surprised at the results. And the other thing too is you don't have to have an agenda. You could just let it show you what is the best that I can do. And then know you can always improve. And there it is. It's a way of saying, I am creating. I am empowered. I am engaged. I am conscious living. All right. So check out the shows on KCMO, the podcast, wendyscoffeehouse.com. Check out some of the archives here. I've got some tremendous shows in the archives, so I'm really thrilled about that. And there's so many, I can't remember them all. Brent will give me the lineup for the week. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that one. Wow. Oh, another one coming up. Kip wrote the book on the Atlantis. Just escaped me. The minute I decided to say it, I forgot. The Atlantean Chronicles. There you go. Okay. Well, the second installment's coming. So he's going to talk about that. This is the guy who talked to his dad on his deathbed. And as he's, you know, talking with dad and kind of helping dad close his life, well, dad, in periods of coherence, wakes up and begins to tell his son, this is what I've been experiencing. And he relates this story without missing a beat, without losing his place, about being on a vessel that had to do with Atlantis here on the planet Earth. That, and it's almost like the Stargate Atlantis, if you're familiar with the series, but he was doing this before that. And so here he's discovering from his father, as father's getting ready to transition, check out, go on to the next chapter, he's telling him, this has been my experience, and this is part of my life. And it's a fascinating story. So I'm really excited to have this next installment, and we'll talk about that. I do have that one booked for Wendy's Coffee House. It isn't quite done yet. So he's in the midst of getting everything all, you know, get the final editing and all that good stuff taken care of. But there's just a wonderful element of that that says, you know, what we think is reality is a lot broader than we give it credit. So the science is also really important as we find out how consciousness connects and how maybe there's no such thing as time. Cynthia Sue Larson with her book Quantum Jumps is another one that I would recommend you find her in the archives, because she talks about, you know, things that we don't have linear, things that we can experience without having that before, middle, and after. There's a deal that, you know, there's some truth to that thing, that there is no time, that everything's happening all at once. And that's what she kind of goes into, is these quantum jumps where all of a sudden these things have happened. And there's no way that we make sense of it because we're very linear. We want things to be very easily ascribed to beginning, middle, and end. And I can say that I have experienced that no time, and that in between time, and that time of being beside myself while I'm watching. I have my two hands on the wheel, and then I have two hands beside me and thinking, uh-oh, and I have split. Basically, it's in that autopilot, you know, when you're driving or you're taking a shower and you kind of get in the phase of your just really super relaxed and kind of obviously not grounded. That's why they say get grounded. Grounded means everything's all present and accounted for, physical, you know, you're doing whatever it is that keeps your body focused on this conscious, concrete, manifesting state. Whereas when you're meditating or in some kind of a trance, then you separate. It's an easier way to separate from this reality and get into that altered state. Well, there I am, driving down the road, thinking everything's just peachy keen. And then I see this other set of hands, my hands right beside me on the wheel, going, what the heck? Accident. Nope. Get myself back. See, I didn't need to text. Fortunately, the minute I realized that, then I pulled myself back into this coherent. And it wasn't, it's a whole different thing than all of a sudden your eyes defocus. It is, you feel and you see, you are in two spaces at once. And I did that with an out-of-body experience before. So it's not like I had a clue what was happening. And it's just that these things happen. They're real. We have to figure out how to make them work for us and to understand, as funky as the things that are that happen to us, other people have those funky things and sometimes even funkier things happening to them. And we don't need to discount their reality. Okay. So that's part of what this little show was about. This is so fascinating. The stuff that we're experiencing at this time, the stories that people are sharing, the realities that we are uncovering. And if you want to know more and find out more, then keep listening. Check out the archives. Do your own research. Check out some of the new stuff that is coming out in terms of mind, body, spirit, in terms of consciousness. All that information is really, really, at this point, becoming so much more powerful. And the science of it is beginning to connect as well. And in 30 years, we're going to be a completely different kind of human being, because this stuff is amplifying and it's beyond words, becoming more, I think, multidimensional. And our abilities to shift our reality and to shift our own consciousness and awareness, like, you know, with the telepathy, the remote viewing, the things that you experience when you're doing astral travel or when you're just going into a different state and allowing healing to happen, when you are able to step aside and let whatever needs to be repaired fix itself and then step back in and say, aha, I did that. I did that. Those are the things that are happening. So it's a fascinating place to be at this time. And I wanted to give a plug, the book that I referenced about the woman with the dog, Ruth Bader, They Don't See What I See. Okay. And I kind of paraphrased it. I'm sorry. Ruth Berger. I gave it Supreme Court Justice. Yeah, right. Okay, fine. Ruth Berger. You know, you like those Freudian slips. Ruth Berger, medium. Okay. And the book is They Don't See What I See. So that was the little story with the ghost dog, whose name is Tupper. And Jack was barking just to say, dog, I heard my name. Yeah. No, Jack, not you. Not this time. I have no idea what made him bark. I want to also say that if you have any other questions or anything like that, you can connect with the blogs, either the talkingtonightlights.com, that blog, or the Wendy's Coffee House. And I've got a new one, Animal Insight, but it's Animal N, the letter N, Sight. So it's really cool as a logo. The L looks, you could go either way, I or L. Anyway, so Animal N Sight. That's the newest blog I started. And I wanted to include what happened when I did the other blog. I didn't include a lot of the telepathic type experiences, the animal communication. I kind of kept my own stuff quiet on that front, but it's part of what I do too. And so I wanted to include that in a way that gave access and the people that I talk to who do animal communication more comfort with sharing their stories, because this isn't for me something that's far out. It's something for me that's natural, and that no matter what time you explore, develop, or recognize that ability, it's a really amazing way to engage with others in your space, and not just animals, with these others in the spirit realms, those that are doing the night lights, that are connecting for me and saying, it's time. Remember, share. Remember, you are more than what you seem. You are more than the body. And when the body is done, you are still part of this. You are still aware, and you are still a being. Okay. So that's what part of their message is. And for more, well, you know what? Life goes on. We'll have to see what they do with the lights next. Never a dull moment. But I will post those. I have every intention of putting that stuff up on the blog, Talking to Nightlights, so you can see what I was referencing in terms of this blinky thing. And with the nightlights, again, this isn't just about a particular house or a particular place. This is my reality, and it goes with me where I go. So if I visit my mom at the lake, the nightlight does the same thing there. If I visit Andy's mom in Texas or wherever, it does its activity there. When I went out to stay in a hotel in Boulder, it was the nightlight doing the same thing there. This isn't just a little quirk that just happened to happen. This has become a part of my life and a way for me to see and remember that there's so much more going on here. The quicker we begin to bring that into our reality and our frame of reference and our belief system, the better we will be able to access it and work it on our behalf to the best of our abilities and for the highest good. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your good thoughts and your creativity.